I don't know what she thinks she's doing talking about all that food right before I had to preach. I know what you're thinking of now. It's not preaching. Amen. I'm in Ephesians chapter 4 today, and I'm not going to get through this sermon, so don't worry about being held here a long time, because I want to pray for some people at the end of the service, and I think the Lord wants to do some things around the altar. So what I call this, spirituality reveals itself in practicality. It's really important you get this title. Spirituality reveals itself in practicality. I'm sick to death of seeing people that claim to be spiritual, but their lives do not represent it. That's a double standards, duplicity. It's sickening, and it's why the world thinks we're all a bunch of hypocrites. Right? So our lives need to reflect our actions, the way we talk, what we do, needs to reflect what we believe. None of us are perfect at that, but we're growing in it. And thank God he's patient. I read this morning. When plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up with nonsense. And this is plain sense to me. So we're in Ephesians 4. We're going to start with verse 22. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another's. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking, but put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Jesus, we come before you today. And Lord, each and every one of us knows that you are in this house. God, we have felt your prompting. We have felt the moving of the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue to move by your Spirit. I pray, God, that every one of us would begin to examine our hearts and, Lord, and give you the liberty, Lord, to touch us and to break off anything that's there, any lie that the devil has planted in our minds. I pray, God, that it would be defeated today and it would be removed and truth would be put in its place, God. Lord, I thank you, Father. Lord, sometimes we call those strongholds. And, Lord, we do have strongholds in our life and they're stopping short what you want to do in us. So God, I pray for the freedom of the Spirit today to take these words, Lord, your words, and bring life to each and every one of us. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me correct one thing that Julia said. She said, we're not related. We are related, sister. Those are our kids. All right? It might not be our school, but they are our kids. And we do claim them, that we love them. Okay, I'm going to talk to you today about putting off. I brought my toys. And putting on. I told Treva I was going to do this, and I said, I need me an angel. And she bought me this one. And I said, I don't want a girl angel. She said, well, there's no such thing as a male angel. After Michael and Gabriel, there are no male angels, and I took great offense to that. Today he says to take off and to put on. And all of you know, if you're as old as I am, you remember cartoons where you saw stuff like this. Have you noticed you don't see that today? You know why, right? Because the world denies that there's even a demon, right? They don't want you to believe that there really is a devil. And that devil really does have a voice and he wants to talk to you. And so we know, according to this angel, not going to stay there very long. It's okay, I don't listen to her that much anyway. So. Sorry. You know what, Wanda? That sweet girl singing in the middle sits in my Sunday school class, Jasmine. And she looked at me today and she said, you ever heard of Jake from State Farm? And I said, yeah. And she goes, just saying. Okay, take a good look. You'll never see this outfit on me again. So I don't know why I got inspired to wear this. But we know that in Christ we're new creations, right? Old things are passed away. All things are new. But you know as well as I do, it doesn't stay dead very long. Right? Who are you listening to? There's a battle in every one of us. And that battle is between the enemy and the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord wants to bring you to life. He wants to bring freedom for you. He wants to deliver you from everything that Satan has lied to you about. And let me just tell you, you may not think that Satan has lied to you, but there are lies deep in your subconscious that somebody sold, even maybe by just an ignorant statement. They just said something. They didn't mean to hurt you, but that statement is there, and the devil captured it. And so he constantly brings that lie to you and tells you that's the truth about who you are. That's what we call a stronghold. And so this little guy over here on the left, he whispers. Actually, he doesn't whisper. Actually, he screams. He talks really loud and he has got a loud voice. And sometimes, you know, in the world, they call this schizophrenia. When there's lots of voices in your head, right? But the truth of the matter is we all have voices in our head. And we've got to learn to silence the ones that's not of God. And that's what we're talking about today. Amen. We're going to take these off. Now this is where he belongs, right? That's where he belongs. I couldn't have done that again if I wanted to. That's the way it is. And even when he's under your feet, he just sticks to you like glue. So, Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, now we know that the old sinful self was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Sin needs to lose its power, its authority, and its voice in your life. He says, we're no longer slaves to it. Now, some of you have been convinced that you are a slave to it, that you can't break that addiction, that you can't stop that. That's nonsense. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible says we're not a slave to sin. Now, when you sin, you're not going to like this. You choose to sin. You make the conscious choice. So let's own it. Until you own it, you can't get rid of it. It says we're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, it's what baptism is a symbol of, we were set free from the power of sin. Verse 12 and 13 says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. How do you stop this? All these voices. It's who you're feeding the most. If you are listening to this little evil voice, you're giving him food. You're giving him your time and your attention. And so most of us don't realize, but this whole world has been affected by sin. And it comes to you from every device. If you're on your phone a lot, so is the devil. I'm not preaching against phones. I'm just saying he uses every avenue he can. He's in the magazines. He's on the TV. And so what we don't understand is sometimes we're giving the devil a road to our heart, maybe 10 hours a day. And some of us never read our Bible until we come to church. So you get about 10 verses a week from the Word of God, but you're getting multiple hours a day from Satan. Now, who do you think's growing? If you're feeding the spiritual man one meal every week, but the old carnal guy is eating regularly 3, 4, 5 times a day, and you're thinking, I'm just struggling. Bless your heart. You're going to struggle. I've often thought, I wish we could take a gun to the old man, but he doesn't die like that. There's only one way to kill the old man. Starve him to death. It's the only way you can get rid of the old man. Get rid of that voice that's so loud that tells you you're nothing but a failure. You're stupid. You're ugly. You're poor and you're always going to be poor. That's the voice of the devil. I'm going to kill you with that pain that you got on your right side. Oh, it's really cancer growing. And I'm going to kill you with it. You see, sometimes we just have a bad day and do stupid things. Right? Am I alone? Feeling pretty lonely up here right now. Sometimes on the worst day of your life, when you do the most dumb thing, and then Satan haunts you with that for the rest of your life. I always say this, it's like a photograph. He takes you on the worst day. Those old Polaroids, and out comes, and then every time you start to get a little better, Satan takes this picture of when you were stupid, and he says, I know you. This is who you really are. You may fool other people for a little. You put that little face on and go to church and smile and act like everything's okay, but I know you. You got to tell Satan to take a hike. You say, I will not believe the voice of the devil any longer. Get out of my heart and get out of my mind. Patty cake, patty cake. So he says in verse 23, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. I find that many Christians need attitude adjustment. And the Holy Ghost will do it for you. See, if you're thinking like a failure, you need an attitude adjustment. He has not called you to defeat. These kids, I don't know if you caught that. But man, don't you wish you memorized the Word of God when you were 8 and 9 years old? That you knew that God called you to success and not to failure? Let the Spirit of the Lord renew your thoughts. In other words, you're going to have to listen to Him. Galatians 5:16 says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. I think one version, I think it's the NIV, says keep in step with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Don't walk behind him. Don't walk ahead of him. Keep in step with the Holy Ghost. Too many Christians have been taught. Some of you have been taught there is no Holy Ghost. That he went away somewhere in the book of Acts or something. That is nonsense. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is as much alive today as he's ever been. And he's here. That's exactly right. He is here. He said, then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. And then I love it because Paul gets very practical. This is where the rubber hits the road. And this is my kind of preaching. I like to preach practicality. An old man told me one time, good pastor, he told me, Eric, he said, I just try to be practical and let God be spiritual. Sometimes spiritual people scare me. When they're all up in the air talking about all these things, I'm like, no, come on down where the rest of us live, right? Just let God be God. Now, I believe that we will be spiritual as he does this. But he says, I wrote this statement down. I actually had it in your notes on Wednesday. And I think I put it on the board. The tension between the practical and the spiritual is not a dichotomy. In other words, it's not contrasting. But it's a dynamic relationship where both aspects support one another. By seeking God's wisdom and guidance, Christians can navigate this balance, ensuring that their lives both responsible stewardship and a commitment to spiritual growth. You don't stop growing. Don't stop anywhere along your spiritual journey. Keep moving forward. You cannot take a vacation from the Spirit of God. Why? Because Satan will jump all over you. So he goes on, he just gets in our business is all I can say. He says, stop lying. Christians, listen to me, because this is not written to sinners. You hear me? This is written to the church. Stop your stinking lying. If it's not truth, don't say it. Don't come up with excuses. Don't say insurance makes me do it this way. Oh, shut up. It's your business. You run it, but you own it. Don't lie to your wife. Wives, don't lie to your husbands. Parents, don't lie to your children. Don't lie to each other. Sometimes hard truths need to be said, but you speak them in love. Until you can speak them in love, keep your mouth shut. It's what the Word of God says. I'm not making this up. Revelation 21:8. I grew up with this. But cowards and unbelievers, the corrupt, the murderers. Now listen to this list. The corrupt, the murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshipers, and all liars. Oh my Lord, he put liars in the same verse that he put murderers and witchcraft. Their fate is the fiery lake of the burning sulfur. All liars go to hell. You hear me? Listen just a little closer. See, this world tells you that it's okay to lie. Just a little. You know, there's really bad lies and then there's white lies. Listen to this preacher. A lie is a lie is a lie. If it's not truth, it's a lie. And he said, put it out. If you just get this one point today, I'll be just really tickled. Proverbs 6 verse 16 says, there are six things that God hates, yea, seven are an abomination before the Lord. Two of them have to do with your mouth. That's why James comes along and says, it controls his tongue is the same as a perfect man. You see, the enemy operates many times in our mouths. He tries to get control of your tongue. I want to tell a little story about Kurt. He gave his testimony yesterday. Thought this was so great. He had a really sick calf. And the calf just wasn't, he said he just totally laid down. And he said normally a calf, that 4 days is when they get sick like that, about 4 days is all they last. 4 days and they're dead. And he said this calf was really sick. It lay down. He had to pick it up with a front end loader and take it to the barn and bottle feed it and stick a tube down its throat to its belly to even get it to take nourishment. But every day he would lay his hands on that cow, on that little calf, and he'd pray over it. He went home, and his wife asked him, said, "Well, what do you think about the calf?" And he said, "It's going to die." And she said, "Come on, Martha. What kind of man of faith are you? You're praying for that calf every day, and now you're saying it's going to..." Do you get that? We are defeated by the words of our mouth. Sometimes, whether you know it or not, you are prophesying over yourself defeat. You're saying, "I can't. I can't do that. I can't get free from this. I can't get healed from this." Stop that word. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Do you hear that kid say that? "I can do all things." There's a miracle in your mouth, whether you know it or not. When your mouth lines up with the word of God, it becomes very powerful. But when it lines up with the enemy, it also becomes powerful. You have life and death in the power of the tongue. And those that love it, in other words, those that talk a lot. Oh, dear Jesus, help me. I've convicted myself now. Second thing he says, don't let sin control you. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. I say this a lot of times in weddings that I do, and I will ask the couple, "Do you know what that means?" And they'll just look at me. And I'll say this, it means you're going to be up late a whole lot in your life. Why does he give us this wisdom? Don't sleep on your anger. You ever get mad, and the more you think about it, the madder you get? It's building, right? And then the stomach starts turning. Then you got to go to the bathroom. Because I'm just mad. I'm just mad through and through. And boy, it's just getting... What's happening? You know, to be angry is not sin. But what you do with it leads to sin. You see, anger oftentimes leads to unforgiveness. And unforgiveness leads to bitterness. And the Bible says, your bitterness springing up will defile many. That's why Paul says, deal with your anger. It's not necessarily a sin to get mad, but analyze, why am I mad? Because oftentimes there is a righteous anger. Jesus had a righteous anger about his father's house. It was not selfish. Most of our anger is selfish. Because you didn't treat me with the respect that I deserve. Well, who told you you deserve respect? That sounds a little bit like pride. So just submit it to the Lord. Now, anger seems to be my go-to emotion. I mean, it's the first thing that happens in me is if something happens, I get mad. But I have learned a little secret. When I get mad, I get quiet. And usually the only person that can tell I'm mad is my wife. And she'll see it even in a crowd of people. She'll say, "I saw your eyes dart. I saw them eyes get..." She said, "I knew somebody said something that made you mad." But I get quiet. I have learned, don't let those words out of your mouth. Because they're going to bear fruit in someone's life. Be careful when you speak. When you're angry, this is where a lot of marriages fail. You hear me? A lot of relationships are broken because people don't have the wisdom to be quiet when they're mad. That's good preaching, Pastor. Wait a minute. That's good. I want you to see the culmination of this. He's not making individual statements. He's not saying, "Do this." Oh, and by the way, let's do this. And by the way, do this. He is taking you down a path. He's leading you down. And he says, don't give the devil a foothold. Well, what gives the devil a foothold? Sometimes it's your anger. Sometimes it's your mouth. Oftentimes it's your mouth. My wife had a note in her Bible she read to me this morning on this scripture. And she said the note was, how many doors do you have open? I said, what are you talking about? You've got doors open that the devil can come through. He said, don't give the devil a foothold. In other words, you know, the old salesman that would talk to you on the porch and you go to close the door and he'd put his foot in the door. He's not going to let you close him out. That's what the devil does. The devil wants opportunity into your head because this is where the battle is. He wants to talk to you and he does not want you to close him out. There's lots of things that lead to this. I'm telling you, those of you that have been promiscuous in your former life, sometimes, whether you know it or not, it left an open door. The Bible says that you become one sexually when you come together, husbands and wife, you become one. That's more than just sexual. It's spiritual. And there are people in this place today that you have had relationships with people that you've got an open door where Satan is coming into you. Say, Pastor, you're scaring me. Nothing to be scared about. Let's just have a little wisdom. Yeah. Let's just close some doors by God's grace, huh? Yeah. Saying, Jesus, I ask that you close the door. I pray that you break that relationship. Close the door. Sometimes old habits, old words gives the devil an opportunity. The devil will use anything he can to capture you. Are you wise? You got to be wise. It goes back to this. Put off the old self. Put on the new self. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Jesus says, yeah, I made a new creation out of you, but your stinking mind is still the same. You still got the same stinking thinking. I've changed your spirit, but your head needs to change. You've got to see yourself different. You've got to think different. You've got to know that he wants to redeem your thoughts. Amen. Change you. You see, you change your thoughts. You change your actions. You change your life. Amen. In my growing up, those steps were skipped. And all I ever thought is I can't do this. And I can't do that. And I constantly tried to change my actions. No, you need to back it up. You can't change your actions until you change your thoughts. When you change your thoughts, you'll change your actions. If you have a problem with dirty thinking, gutter thinking, then you need to renew your thoughts. Yeah, that should have had a whole lot more amen than it got. Got a little too close to home, didn't it? He says we need to quit stealing. Instead, work. Don't you love that? I love that he puts a negative, but then he follows it up with a positive. If you used to steal, stop it. Work with your hands. There's one part of this. I'm trying to go too fast, I'm afraid. He says, that very first part, put away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. It's the next few words, for we're members of one another. I ought to care about Ray as much as I care about me. You see, that's why I had to correct you, because we are connected. Do you get that? It's not our school. Not really your school either. It's his school. But we're connected. Are you following me? We have the same DNA. It's Jesus' blood in me is Jesus' blood in you. And until the church understands that we're deeply connected by love, that there's just things that I would never do to this woman. Some of you have never seen a little girl walk out of the church, have you?
We just did.
there's things that I would never do to her. Why? Because I absolutely love her. She's the most important person in my world. And so there's things I just wouldn't do. But you should be equally important. Are you getting this? The church has got to quit seeing ourselves as just people that sing songs together and then we leave. Until we understand, until we get a burden. Did you guys see Tevin last week? Yeah. I just caught his eyes. I told him, I said, I've been practicing all week to walk the way you walk. I'm telling you, when he was doing that, I thought, he owns this place, man. Tevin's my little brother. We got different mamas and different daddies. Well, we're family. You know that, right? And when we understand we are the body of Christ, we'll quit lying to each other. We'll quit being hateful. We'll start loving each other. How can I help you? How can I help you grow in grace? That really should be the attitude of every person in this church. Can I help you climb with Jesus? Overcome the adversary? Folks, if you think I'm preaching to one or two, I'm not. I'm preaching to every person in this place and the people on the line. Because this is a common problem with all of us. You say, well, maybe you'd say, well, I never stole a thing in my life. That's probably a lie. If you go to work for somebody and you get lazy, you're stealing. Child of God, you ought to be the hardest worker that business has. But you know why he said you need to work with your hands? So that you can give generously. Isn't that great? I love this stuff. Don't use foul or abusive language. I love the old King James on this one. Don't let any corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Growing up again, I thought if I didn't cuss, I had arrived. So I didn't cuss as a kid. But there was a lot of corrupt things that come out of my mouth. You see, if you don't have something encouraging to say, just shut up. If you don't have anything encouraging to say, really, you have nothing to add to the conversation. Keep your opinion to yourself. That's good preaching. So that goes along with, you know, I think about you ladies at the Hope Center a lot, and you spread out on me now. I can't find all of you. I know living with 30 ladies has got to be a challenge. It's a challenge living with one lady. And I'll guarantee you, she'd say it's a challenge living with one man. But any time that you live in such close community, it's a challenge. But let me tell you, this is where Jesus works. Jesus will perfect you in this community. Are you following me? He will teach you how to keep your mouth shut. He will teach you how to speak the truth in love. He'll teach you kindness. That's what the church is about. Every church has a brother and sister sandpaper. They rub everybody the wrong way. They will take your skin off. And the more religious they get, the grainier they get. But guess what? You gotta love them anyway. That's what the church teaches us. We've been called into a community of believers. The church is not Assembly of God or Church of Christ. It's the ecclesia, the called out ones. We're all part of the church. You can't get mad at the Baptists. You can't get mad at the Presbyterians. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And God is doing something in these last days. He's uniting the church. And I'm so thankful. Wouldn't it be a wonderful day when all the denominational signs come down and we're just the church who God has called us to be? We could talk a lot on that abusive language, corrupt and unwholesome words, but I wanted to get to this one. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know that there's a more pertinent scripture in the Bible than this one. So as long as the devil's got you thinking that there is no Spirit of God, then you're just walking in ignorance. I don't mean to be offensive. Yeah, maybe I do. You have to understand the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Godhead. He is God. And He is the agent of God on this earth right now, is the Holy Spirit. And Paul said in his letter, don't grieve Him. Whether you know it or not, the Spirit of God is speaking to you. He will speak to you often. Johnny Blunt said, His voice sounds a little bit like my voice. So sometimes you'll think, is that me or is that the Spirit of God? You got to weigh it out. You got to determine, is it scriptural? Is it loving? Is it kind? Right? All those things. So how do we grieve Him? By not listening. See, the Holy Spirit may whisper into your heart today, hey, grab one of those Hope Center girls and just tell them how much you love them and appreciate them. How much they encourage your life because you know they've come out of the pit and God is doing something. You know, they need to hear that. The church needs to give extra love and extra support to people. I'm telling you, I went to Lee's graduation and I could have done a headstand. I mean, I was just, yes, Jesus. To know that he was what, a heroin addict or, I mean, so many things. And to see what Jesus Christ has done in his life. You listen to this. He competed across the state of Tennessee in his area of expertise, what he's been training for. And he brought home the gold. See, if you don't think the Holy Spirit wants to show off in your life, you're not getting it right. The Holy Spirit takes you at your worst possible moment. And He says, I can work with that. I can put you back together better than you've ever been. And I'm going to use your pit and make it your pulpit. I'm going to let you stand on the pulpit of the world and tell about the goodness of God. Don't you remember the old fairy tale? Can Humpty Dumpty ever put it back together? No, but God can. Hallelujah. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. If He tells you to tell that person that God loves them, you may walk by somebody and all of a sudden you have this thing and your heart says, give them $20. What most of us does says, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan is not going to tell you to give somebody money. He's not going to tell you to tell them that Jesus loves them. That's the voice of God. It's the voice of compassion. Can I just say this? The voice of the Holy Spirit will speak to you more at home and at work and in your life than He does in the church. Some of us come to church and we say, what do you need, Holy Spirit? He said, I told you on Monday. I'm not a Sunday God. I'm an everyday God. So I'm going to stop here. I know it's getting late, but I have to open the altars. And I need to pray for some of you. Some of you that's dealing with unforgiveness and anger. You need to hear the voice of the Spirit more. You're just longing for a deeper walk. Just come on, stand up. Just come on to this altar. The deacons will fall in behind you. We're not going to take long. I promise you, I don't believe in long services. I believe in letting God move, and God will move. But there's some things that might need to be broken off of your life. If you've got unresolved anger, let the Lord break it today. If there's people that's hurt you in the past, now listen to me very closely, because I'm going to get real personal. There's people that have molested you. You need to forgive them. It doesn't make them right. What they did was very wrong. But you need to release that so that it doesn't lead you any longer. You can get free from it. You just, let's get rid of the anger. Let's get rid of unforgiveness. It might be against your wife or your husband. It may be against your children. You're just mad. And you don't even know why you're mad, but you're just mad. Well, maybe you don't know why, but God knows why. And God wants to break it off today. There's strongholds. Somebody said something in your life when you were a little kid and you've been walking around with that for 50 years. And I just want to tell you, you're not a failure.
That's right. Amen.
Huh. I love that song we sing. Jesus never fails. Will he fail? He fails not. Deacons, are you back here? I would love to see somebody behind every person. Put your hand on their shoulders. Don't pray what you think. Pray what the Holy Spirit says. And let's break off some stuff. Okay? Now, I don't need to know what you're dealing with. It's none of my business. But you need to confess it to the Lord. If you need to say, God, forgive me for harboring unforgiveness. You're not telling the Lord that what that person did was right. All you're saying is, Lord, I'm closing the door. There you go. There's another one. There's some of you that have those relationships that are still open. So the devil still has a foothold into your head, into your spirit. You need to ask God to close those relationships that you should have never had. Amen. We're just going to go down. We're going to pray. I want every saint of God in this place. Somebody deals with depression all the time. God will break it off your life today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, touch my sister, God. Lord, you know what she deals with, Lord. I pray, God, break off anything that's ungodly. Anything that's not of you, Lord, break it off in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for my brother, Lord. I pray right now, God, that you would free him. Free him in Jesus' name. Free him, Father, from everything that has pulled him down. Every lie of the devil, let it be broken in Jesus' name over my brother. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, that she is much. That she is important, Father. That she is special to you, God. I pray, Lord, right now that the lie of the enemy is broken off of her in Jesus' name. Let her go free. Father, I pray for my sister. Lord, I come against this depression. Lord, what is causing that depression, God? I pray, Lord, that you would take your scalpel and go deep into her heart and cut it out, Lord. Cut those things out, Lord. Somebody sowed some seeds in her when she was a little girl, Lord, that's ungodly and unfruitful. Lord, I pray, God, help her today, Lord, to discover the lie of the enemy and to say, that's a lie. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. Break it off in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Father. Redeem her. Redeem her. Redeem her. God, give her new thoughts, Lord. She got new DNA, Lord. The old is gone. The new has come. She got a new daddy in heaven, God. Give her a blood transfusion today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray for my sister. Oh, I pray that the joy of the Lord is her strength, God. Let her know that her past does not determine her future.
So
God, that there's joy, joy, joy ahead. Lord, let the darkness of the night pass away so she can see the sun of the day, God. I pray right now, Lord, help her with unforgiveness. Help her, Lord, to repent of it, to get it out of her heart in Jesus' name. Father, be with our brother, Lord. Touch him. Heal this hurt in his heart, God. Lord, heal him. Lord, I pray, God, for the things that he holds against himself, God. I pray, Lord, let him help. Let him find forgiveness for his own thoughts, his own ways, his own failures, God. Lord, we just tell him, Lord, like it is, God. We repent.
You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise.
Redeem what the enemy has stolen in Jesus' name. Father,
you
I pray, Lord, for today.
Past.
I thank you, Father,
for
the goodness of God
back.
In his life. I thank you, Lord, that there's an investigative spirit inside of him. Lord, he
you
is wondering, Lord, about your goodness,
so I'll
God.
Sing out
he is beginning
your
to
praise.
Be drawn to the cross, God. You're doing something miraculous in his life. And I pray, let the
you
Spirit of God show
past.
Him what
I'm
true life is all about.
Back.
Break off the enemy's approach, God. Break
I
off.
Was
let him close the door, Lord. Then let it open for
safety. I was called
God,
by
I thank you for this young man.
Born and
God.
Raised back to
touch
life
him.
Again.
Anoint him with your
I
word.
Was made for more.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for my sister. Thank you, Father, that she
so
got a glimpse of who she really is when she's in Africa,
my shame
God. Lord, let this lioness, Lord, come out of her, Lord. Let the roar of the Spirit come on out, God. Let her see that she, Lord, is a victor. Lord, she is a David, Father. She is ready to slay the Goliath, Lord, in her life. I pray, Lord, right now for your anointing and the fire of the Holy Ghost to be upon her, in Jesus' name.
Born and raised back
Hallelujah,
to life
Father.
Again.
Lord, you had her attention today.
Was
she was listening, Lord, with openness, Lord, with an open heart. God, she knows, Lord, there's
so
things that's deep
I
down in her heart that needs to come out. I pray right now that the Spirit of God goes so deep inside of her, God. Dig it up, Lord. Dig it up. Let the Word of God break it off. God, free her, Lord. Free her from the disappointments, Lord. Hallelujah. And let her find the joy of the Lord in the morning. Hallelujah.
Born and raised back to life.
Freedom in Christ. Not one time, but always, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, touch my brother, God. Touch him, anoint him, use him. Free him, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the anointing of God. I thank you, Lord, for what you have started. But, Lord, you are not finished, God. You just started the work in her. Lord, she looks at her life and she sees, oh, it's so much better. And it's just a glimpse of what you are doing, God. Lord, let her see the final package, God. The woman of God that you called her to be, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, God, for your anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord. Break the yoke, God. Show them the true picture, Lord. Hallelujah. May your anointing rest upon these ladies, God. Hallelujah, Father. We just pray, Lord, that all unforgiveness is gone and it's under the blood.
Come and
God,
see
you saved.
Forgive
right now.
That would die to make you new. Nothing you have ever done can change what mercy's done.
They were wrong, Lord, but we forgive them, God. And I pray, God, right now,
if you are so great,
look up. Let all bitterness go away, God. Let the anger go away, Jesus.
So come and see
you saved
love. That would die to make you new. Nothing you have ever done can change what mercy's done for you. And if you ever wonder, if you're worth so great a cost,
Lord, that they've been walking with you for a long time. But Lord, today we got a bit of a picture of ourselves that we saw. saw that we're not finished.
You've been trying hard to bear.
I pray, God, right now, close the gap. Close the door of the enemy, God.
If there's a God,
however those things have come,
you're sure He forgot your name.
Let the enemy not have any more ground in our heart and in our mind. I pray that all bitterness and unforgiveness would be gone. All anger would cease in Jesus' name. Unkind words, God, would stop in Jesus' name.
Who told you grace can't reach the messed up ones like you? Has the devil made you believe the lies he tells are true, when you're sure that you're the one who's wandered too far off? It's not too late, just come home to the cross. So come and see a saved love that would die to make you new. Nothing you have ever done can change what mercy's done for you. And if you ever wonder if you were so great a cross,
look up. The lie that says you're not even worth living. You're not worth it. You are worth the blood of Christ. You are valuable to God. You need to hear the voice of the
Everybody's
Holy Ghost say how special you are. That Jesus
at least
died
a mile
for your sins.
Long of every scar and every sin from every way that you've gone wrong. If there's reason for rejoicing, the reason is because that list was nailed to the cross. So come and see the Savior's love that would die to make you new. Nothing you have ever done can change what mercy's done for you. If you ever wondered if you're so great a cost, look up and see the cross. So come and see a Savior's love that would die to make you new. Nothing you have ever done can change what mercy's done for you. And if you ever wondered if you're worth so great a cost, look up and see the cross. Look up and see the cross. Look up and see the cross.
She's asking prayer for a grandbaby that's not born yet. His name is Eric. And they have determined that he doesn't have a full spine. And so, but God, take your hand forward. Father, we call Eric healed in Jesus' name. God, I pray right now in that uterus, God, in that womb, God, that you'll reach down. Lord, your word says that you sent your word and you healed them, God. We believe in the healing power of God. And we know, Lord, you start any time there's life. There's life there, Father. We thank you for that life. We see the value of that life and we speak healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your touch on that baby. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Real quick, before we leave, don't forget no Sunday school next week. Bring your camping chair, bring your canopy. We're outside next Sunday, so it'll be a wonderful time. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.